I know I will make mistakes, but you have no mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. All right, if you know it, let's sing it. Here we go. Yeah. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me.
All right.
Your love never fails. Your love never fails.
Sing, the wind is strong.
The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails.
Yeah, yeah.
The chasm is far too high. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails.
Let's lift up the Lord this morning and sing. Yeah.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Your love never fails.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
If you believe it, sing it this morning.
You make all things work together for my good.
Amen.
You make all things work together for my good.
Come on, let's sing it.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Come on, if you believe it, let's sing that one more time.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Your love never fails.
Well, let's lift that praise this morning. God is good, amen. God is good, amen? You guys had a good time this week? Yeah. Well, we've had such a privilege being here with you all this week. We're so excited to be a part of Camperama this summer. You guys ready? And I know when we all come together, it says when two or three are gathered in his name, that he's here in our midst. And how many of you believe that as a result of our strategies this weekend, coming together and just dedicating it all to God, this is going to be the best year, the best few years that Royal Rangers has ever seen. Amen? You believe that? Well, we're so thrilled to be a part of it. And real quick before we go, first of all, thank you to everybody who made it out to our little showcase last night. We played a little bit of the songs that we'll be doing at Camp-Rama this summer, because I think we're doing an actual concert on Thursday night. But we're in a band called Cor Captus, and it's a Latin for heart capture. And really, we kind of have this idea of being able to take what God's doing in our lives through our words, through our lyrics, out into the world. Because how many of you know that that's what it's all about, right? Reaching people for Jesus. Amen? Is that what we're about? All right. So we kind of came together with this band idea, but I just want to introduce some of the guys to you real quick. Right behind me, this guy's name is Bryant Urich, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. Give it up for Bryant. From Decatur, Alabama, the guy who's been keeping us locked in on the bass guitar, Mr. Justin Barnett. Give it up for Justin. And I can't say enough about this guy. He stepped in last minute. We have a drummer, usually from Nashville, that comes with us. And we have another guy from Chicago. But man, we could not find a drummer. And this guy stepped in last minute, learned all of our songs, not just for worship, but learned all of our band songs, played the show last night, and just has killed it this week. Give it up for Caleb Job from Dallas, Texas. And my name is Brenton Miles, and again, we are in a band called Cor Captus. It's Latin, so CORCAPTIS. We've got a free song. If you guys ever want, you can text that word Captus to 444-999. We've got a free song we'll give to you there. So thanks again for having us. You ready to continue worshiping Jesus this morning? Anybody? Three of you? Ready? All right. All right, let's sing this together. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. All your goodness I will keep on singing. Ooh, 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Lift him up. Worship your holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my faith is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and live forevermore. Bless the Lord. Worship your holy name.
worship your holy name.
God, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for your sweet presence. As we worship you, you get up off your throne and you meet your children right where we're at. You wrap us with loving arms. God, we know that every time we come into your presence like this, it's not going through the motions or just singing songs. It's new every single day. The word says your mercy's new every morning. You're a creative God and you love to speak life into us. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much that you call us your children. For the opportunity to worship you with not just our words, not just our lyrics, with the way we treat those around us, our brothers, our sisters, the way we treat these young men, these young women, the way we treat our wives, it's all worship unto you, God. And so many times it's easy to take for granted. So many times it's easy to go through the motions and wear the cap of a leader, where it's more about our policies and programs and systems and status than it is about surrender and humility and worship. So this morning we come before you, all of us, those who are in that place, but maybe some that just haven't let go of some things. And in your presence, I just pray that you would break those chains even now. It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day. It's so easy to get caught up in the strategies. It's so easy. But God, right now, with every person here, can we just lift up our hands and as an act of surrender, just say, God, do what only you can do right now in this place. Come on, in your own words, just ask him to flood this room. Lord, let your presence be made known again more and more. Change us from the inside out. Lord, take us to a new place, a place of freedom and of mercy, of grace.
We worship and adore the King of all, the one who was and is to come. Hallelujah.
Praise you, God.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch
like me.
I 'Twas grace that taught. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Promise good to me, His word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And look of love, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. Come on, sing it out. I've been. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbade to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. You are. Oh, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior. His ransom me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.
Hallelujah. 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 I think it's appropriate that this morning, you know, Amazing Grace was Fred Deaver's favorite song. And we even sang it as a memorial yesterday. And as I was standing there listening to that, my chains are gone, I've been set free, I couldn't help but think about the fact that today he's sitting up there in heaven and he knows the meaning of that ultimately, doesn't he? Chains are gone, he's been set free. And as we stand here, I just got to thinking about all of the guys, every one of you that are represented in this room. I heard one of the guys as we were sitting around in the lobby last night talking, he said, when I was still working on my testimony. And I thought, I like the way that sounds, still working on my, we've all got something, but guess what? Our chains are gone. We've been set free. And isn't that an awesome idea that we stand here in the presence of God from different backgrounds, different histories, but none of that matters because the ground is level at the cross, isn't it? We all stand before God free. Would you sing that with me one more time? My chains are gone. I've been set free. And let's just celebrate God in our minds and let's remember what he's done for us as we get ready to go into the word. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, he's ransomed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And like a flood, his mercy gained unending love, amazing grace. Would you raise your hands and just thank God for his grace? Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for every one of us here in this place that you've reached down in your mercy and you've touched us and you've brought us together and you've given us a purpose and you've given us new life and you've given us a hope. And we celebrate in that this evening or this morning, Lord. We thank you for that. We glory in your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you put your hands together one more time for our band here? Thank you, guys, for your ministry. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, last night I was sitting here, I'm thinking, man, your boys are going to love these guys in the concert last night. And also, please make sure you do that, and we appreciate it. Somebody's in a hurry here. His clock's ticking. Don't worry, brother. You're good. Well, hey, I was going to go through this whole introduction here, and this individual really doesn't need, you may be seated. He doesn't really need an introduction. He's been in Royal Rangers since 1972, 44 years. Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much. In fact, earlier he said, give me a big flowery introduction. Well, no, actually he said, don't make it flowery. I don't want you to take up my time. But you know what? Jim serves on our executive committee as our national field advisor. He is someone that I value and I cherish and appreciate deeply. He represents Royal Rangers well. He's an example. When I think of a Royal Ranger, this is who I think of right here. Wow. Someone who represents us awesomely. A statesman of Royal Ranger. Would you put your hands together and welcome Jim Barger?
Thank you, Carl. God, man. Good morning. I really don't want to be up here this morning. When I got the text from Sandra asking if I would speak on Saturday morning and what the theme was, before I had finished typing sure to respond, God had laid a burden on my heart. And when I hit send, I had already said, no, I'm not doing that. And he said, well, it's your choice. You know, do whatever you want to do. It's okay. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I loved how Carl put that together from other translations. They were all together, together. You know, we can be in one place, but we don't necessarily have our hearts in one accord. And we're not necessarily together in the spirit and in the purpose. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. How many know that when a group is of one accord, great things happen? Amen. 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 Skipping on down, right after Peter's sermon, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, that's us, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them, say it with me, 3,000 souls. How many know when people are gathered in one accord, great things happen? Amen. 3,000 in one sermon is good. That's good. I've never preached a powwow with 3,000 in responding. Now, I'm going to be very short this morning. I only have one point, and I pray God it will prick your heart and make it bleed. But just to stress the importance of what I'm going to challenge you with, I've asked for a little bit of help this morning. So I called on my old friend Dan Rather to come and share with us for just a minute. Let's see what they've got for us.
South Africa's wildlife parks are a great success story. They brought many animals back from the brink of extinction and millions of tourist dollars from all over the world. But as Bob Simon first reported a couple of years ago, there's a dark problem in the South African bush. Game rangers discovered that a new group of juvenile delinquents has been attacking and killing the white rhino, the rhino they've spent years protecting.
This is a mission to save the rhinos in South Africa's Pelansberg Park. Rhinos who were thriving until an unknown killer began stalking them. A tranquilizer dart brings the animal down.
Yeah, he has got a dart.
The rhino is tagged to make it easier to identify.
I'm just about to insert a microchip into the shoulder.
The rangers have to count these animals to protect them. 10% of the rhino population was being wiped out, 39 during the killing spree. Dead rhinos started turning up all over the park, and it clearly wasn't the work of poachers. The rhino's horns hadn't been touched. The park rangers soon found themselves cast as cops conducting an investigation. And their first findings led them to believe that if they were to round up the usual suspects, they'd need a pretty large holding pen. That's because this is one of the prime suspects, a killer caught on home video terrorizing a group of tourists. It turned out that young male elephants were behind the murders of Pelansberg's rhinos.
Many of the carcasses were decomposed at first, and the indications were there that it was elephants.
Gus van Dyke is Pelansberg Park's field ecologist.
I must be honest, I really was skeptical at first.
Because you didn't want to believe it?
Yeah, you don't want to believe that an elephant is capable of killing a rhino.
Why would they do it? Well, like juvenile delinquents from urban jungles, they'd grown up without role models.
What's different is they don't have a father.
Everyone needs a dad.
I think everyone needs a role model, and these elephants that left the herd had no role model and no idea of what appropriate elephant behavior was.
The problem goes back 20 years to Kruger National Park, South Africa's largest. Kruger simply had too many elephants. In those days, there was no way to relocate these large adults, so a tough decision was made. Kill the adults, save the children, who were easy to transport to other parks.
I think it was a good idea.
Dr. Haim Ebedees was the government veterinarian who approved the relocations back then.
Did it occur to you at the time that you were proposing this notion that moving young elephants without their parents could be problematic?
I did think about that, but at that particular time, there was no other option.
The intentions may have been good, but the program created a whole generation of traumatized orphans thrown together without any adults to calm them down or teach them how to behave.
When you look at those young elephants, how terrified they are at a cull, where mom doesn't get up, or where the whole family's lying there and this little elephant is all on its own. It's a terrible scene. It really is.
Years later, those lonely orphans developed into troubled teenagers. That's when the killings at Peelensburg Park began. Like a police department facing a crime wave, the Rangers photographed the murder scenes and put together rap sheets on the prime suspects, giving them each names.
And here's Tom Thumb.
We've identified that Tom Thumb was in an area, coincidentally, where a rhino mortality took place.
Sounds to me like circumstantial evidence at best.
That's right.
Tom Thumb was under surveillance, but other elephants were caught red-handed.
That would be a typical rap sheet. It's just just a date and a short description of what the animal was involved in.
April 26, 96, chasing white rhino. 4th of April, white rhino mortality. Aggressive interaction with tourist vehicle. This guy was building up quite a record, huh?
It was eventually decided on, at the end of that rap sheet, to kill this elephant.
Five were killed in all. They may have been juvenile delinquents, but there's no reform school for elephants. When a gate-crashing teenager attacked Jock McMillan's place, however, Jock decided to take him on. This home video shows Jock face-to-face with an elephant who's just smashed through his fence and threatened a group of workers. Jock defended his turf the way an elephant would and pushed the troublemaker back out. McMillan is the elephant man at a private game reserve, and this elephant, a bull named Mafuta, was his biggest problem. Jock didn't want to shoot the elephant. His only hope was to provide supervision and discipline himself. Mafuta was your typical 14-year-old schoolyard bully, picking on rhinos by throwing sticks and stones. But get up close.
Yeah, it's asshole, man.
And you realize how big a juvenile delinquent is when it's an elephant. And those sticks are actually big branches.
That's enough of that.
The problem was even larger than Mafuta himself. He turned the reserve's elephant herd, all orphans relocated without adults, into a street gang. And he was the gang leader. Here he is sparring with one of his pals.
The source of the problem was basically human beings doing something which turned out to be wrong. On that basis, we're pretty much obliged to try and solve the problem before taking the drastic steps of shooting the animals.
At that point, it seemed there was still time to study the situation, that a real confrontation was several years away. Jock followed the elephants night and day to document the rhino attacks. At first, the scene seemed funny enough. Mafuta hosing down a rhino with his trunk. But the attacks became more violent. At one point, Mafuta spent 7 hours stubbornly going after a group of rhinos. When Jock briefly managed to distract the elephant, the rhinos ran for cover. But when Mafuta saw what had happened, he charged off in a rage. Several weeks later, he attacked one of the same rhinos again.
This time he actually got on top of her, pushed her down, knelt on her, went around the back and kicked her.
After another violent attack, time had run out for Jock and for Mafuta. Mafuta had to be shot. First, a vet fires a tranquilizer dart. Mafuta stumbles and goes down. The other elephants trumpet and circle around to protect him. The Rangers, unable to go in for the final kill, call in a helicopter to drive the other elephants off. But one just can't leave, Mafuta's younger sister. 3 times she races away to the cover of a thicket, then comes back to try and rouse her brother. Finally, with the chopper hovering low, she has to leave him behind. She seems to know what will happen next.
I realized it had to be done. But because you, because I've been working rather closely with animal, you form emotional attachments.
The people at Peelensburg had emotional attachments too. Like Jock, they didn't want to kill their delinquents. They wanted to understand them. The rangers were baffled by the behavior of these young male elephants. It was strange. It was unprecedented. But then a pattern began to emerge, and the reason behind the delinquency became clear. Clear, that is, to the parents of any teenage boy who's just started to shave. The elephants who were picking on the rhinos were all suffering from an excess of testosterone. And the solution turned out to be the biggest Big Brother program in the world. The rangers went looking for big daddies, role models to keep the youngsters from mating at an early age when they can't handle those raging hormones. The problem you had here was young bull elephants becoming increasingly violent. And your solution was to bring in some even bigger bull elephants. Seemed like a very bold gamble. Did you lose any sleep over it at the time?
There certainly was a potential for huge disaster.
So from the same helicopter they once used for killing, they fired tranquilizer darts into older males, packed them up, and hauled them away to the Peelensburg Park in huge trucks specifically designed for huge elephants. The sign on the side says, "We're on our way to kick butt in the Peelensburg." Once they were established in the park, we took to the air to track some of those big bulls, brought in to teach the juveniles how to behave.
I like to think that this problem will never occur again, but we've certainly learnt a lot about elephant society as a result of studying this problem.
You didn't know that elephant society was as complex as it turned out to be?
I don't think anybody really realized just what the implications of disrupting that elephant society is.
Back on the ground, we found the first big bull who was relocated here. He was busy establishing the natural hierarchy. This sparring should discourage the youngsters from being sexually active. That means less testosterone, and that's good news for the rhinos.
It was like teenagers running on the loose.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, Dad comes home.
Suddenly, he's there, and Dad is very obvious to them. And in Dad's presence, we predicted they wouldn't try and assert themselves. And
now, was it just Dad's size, or did Dad's behavior influence them?
Dad's behavior as well.
And here he comes.
Intimidating.
Is he trying to intimidate us?
Yeah, you just have a look at his... See the signals he's sending you. As soon as you start talking,
yeah,
he sways his head, makes his himself, brings his ears forward, he picks himself up on his shoulders.
Yeah,
he's sending you messages.
And what is the message?
He's saying, "I hear you, and you're a little bit too close for my comfort. I don't like you this close.
And I'm bigger than you are, so you back off, not me."
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand that message. Is that the kind of message he was giving to the young bulls?
Well, I think it's a lot more subtle than that.
In other words, with humans he has to be very extreme. With other elephants he can be subtle.
Yeah, I think we don't really understand. He realizes we're perhaps a bit thick.
Subtle or not, the Peelensburg juveniles seem to be reading the message loud and clear. Since the big bulls arrived, not one rhino has been killed. And remember Tom Thumb? He may be the luckiest animal in the park, whether he knows it or not. Once near the top of the wanted list, he's been given a reprieve. The arrival of the big daddies knocked him down a peg or two. He stopped harassing the rhinos, and the rangers hope that when he finally gets a chance to mate, he'll be a new man entirely.
And when he gets back to that position, hopefully he's had time to reflect, time to look back on his misspent youth and think, well, I'm big enough now to cope with these females, and rhinos are just not an option anymore.
Do you notice the parallels? A male is a male. And the pattern is very predictable if they grow up without somebody teaching them how to behave, what is socially acceptable and what is not socially acceptable. I was privileged to speak at the Ohio All Church Conference last weekend, and my subject had to do with fatherless boys. And I had a whole bunch of statistics, but I'll tell you, it just scares the socks off of you, the percentage of boys that are growing up in the United States today without a godly role model. There are no bull elephants for them, no one to show them the way, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, and how to behave and how not to behave. Consequently, they do what they think is right or whatever they feel. And for our nation, the ultimate result of that is anarchy. Probably not in our lifetime, but we have certainly seen the biblical example of that when people did what was right in their own eyes. So it's up to you and I, if I read Titus correctly, it is up to you and I to show the young males under us the way. Amen. How to behave, how to love Jesus, what their priorities are in life. If I've been asked this question once while I've been here, I've been asked it 20 times. What is happening to us? What is happening to Royal Rangers and the Assemblies of God? We're throwing it out. Churches are throwing it out. They're bringing in all kinds of programs other than Royal Rangers. Other denominations, other fellowships are welcoming Royal Rangers. They realize the excellence of the tool, the many facets that are there to do exactly what we're told in Titus, we need to be doing. We need to be bull elephants, but we need a lot more bull elephants. And so you look and say, well, what is happening to us? Could it be that we have fallen into, I'll coin a term, we're not a denomination, but have we fallen into denominational apathy? Have we said, this program is too difficult? It was difficult carrying that cross up to Calvary. Have we said, let's just write off this generation and take care of ourselves and we'll make it, praise God, and it's all good? Just asking. Dwight Walters, I didn't ask your permission, Dwight, but I know it'll be okay, sent a memo around to the executive committee a few weeks ago talking about a new program that is for boys. It's only 2 years old. Had two full sessions on focus on the family. And his question was, why can a brand new program that's just come on the horizon that essentially has the same values we have? Let me see if I can find those. Male-centered, Christ-centered, and trans-denominational. Why can they get national recognition and we are the best kept secret in the Assemblies of God? Why is that? Is it denominational apathy? My pastor did a master's cohort not too long ago, specifically for pastors of churches from 5 to 800 looking to move to the next level. 26 pastors in that cohort from all over the nation. Guess how many had Royal Rangers? Two. My pastor asked them what they were doing to mentor boys. What do you think they said? Nothing. Whatever they need, they'll get in youth. They won't get gender-specific ministry. They're not going to have a bull elephant tell them how to behave in youth. They need to be in youth. They need to learn how to mix socially. They need to learn those social graces and what girls are all about. But they need some bull elephants to take them aside and tell them how to behave and what's expected of them and what it means to be a godly man. Have we fallen into denominational apathy? Now, I'm not going to make this comparison. It's up to you. You can do whatever you want to do with it, but there is a parable that Jesus gave. The master was going to go away, and he entrusted to one servant 20 talents, and to another 10, and to another 5. And you know the story. The one servant buried his talent. Could we draw a parallel and say, way back in the early 1960s, God realized that we had a whole bunch of young elephants running around without role models. And so he laid on the heart of men to begin a ministry that would specifically target those young men. And he entrusted it to a group that he thought would exercise good stewardship. But that group in time began to think, it's too hard. I'm just going to maintain. I've inherited this, and I'm just going to take care of it. I'm going to make sure it doesn't get any worse. Well, it will get worse. What you don't nurture, what you don't feed, what you don't prune, and what you don't tend will gradually, in time, deteriorate. And so, over the last 15 or so years, we have tried to do pruning. We have tried to do feeding. We have tried to do fertilizing, watering, in order to remain relevant so that we could give the prospective bull elephants in our fellowship the tools that they could use to do what Titus has called them to do, to evangelize, equip, and empower the next generation of Christ-like men and boys, or however that goes. So my challenge to you, district staffs, is to go back into your districts with a vow that I will sit down and I will look every pastor that's within my realm of authority, every pastor, I will look him in the eye and I will have a heart-to-heart conversation. I will explain to him the wonderful, wonderful thing that he can get by enlisting Royal Rangers in his church to help him to disciple young men. I want us to make that vow this morning, men. I want us to make a vow that we will go to every church in our district that's running Royal Rangers but's not chartered up and encourage them to join the organization. Let's get in one accord. Let's not be out here doing this, calling ourselves a Royal Ranger when we're not, because if you're a Royal Ranger, you are honest. And you join the organization. This other organization I was speaking about, guess what? They actually charge a fee. Can you imagine that? They charge a fee for their boys to participate. Who ever heard of such a thing? Let me show you, just if I can find it, let me tell you. You'll find this interesting. The question was, what are the costs? $325 is the initial church charter. $25 per year individual charter. Then there's also an annual church recharter. So it's $26 a year for the boy to charter. Imagine that, thinking you could charge somebody to participate in a church-sponsored activity. The audacity. Our charter fee is minimal. But yet people will say, we're not going to charter, it costs money. Anything that you get of value costs money. David said, I won't offer anything to my father that didn't cost me something. It's supposed to cost you something. That's how you ascribe value to something, is what you pay for it or what you go through to attain it. So men, that's my challenge this morning. And I want to say, shame on you. Shame on you, me as well. If you don't go back and make it your purpose to let it be known by whatever means that are available to you about the wonderful benefits of this tool called Royal Rangers that has so many facets that any man can use to mentor boys. That's our charge. That's why you sit where you are. You've been given stewardship over this talent. Will you bury it and just try to maintain? Because when the master comes back, you know he's a harsh master. Take some risk. Get it done. Do not settle. How many of you can honestly say, do not raise your hand, answer in your heart? How many can honestly say, I'm doing everything I can do? Everything I can do to see Royal Rangers grow in the churches in my district or my network. We can always do more. We can always do more. It used to be said, Brother Charles Crabtree brought this out so well one time, speaking right here on our council floor. He said, you've often heard it said, to whom much is given, much is required. But I can tell you, from whom much is required, much is given. God will enable you. If your heart is pure and your motives are holy, God will enable it. He will open those doors. If the door's shut, you have the New Testament example. Shake the dust and move on. Don't go crawl in your closet and say, nobody listens to me. Shake the dust off of your sandals and move on to the next one. Let's be about our Father's business. In the few moments that I have left, I want us to do that. I want us to band together as districts and pray together and say, we're going to pick up that challenge. I don't know what it looks like, but with God's divine direction and intervention, we will. Be proactive. We're not going to sit back any longer and wait on pastors to come to us or my phone to ring or my email bell to jingle. We're going to start knocking on doors and say, hi, Pastor. I'm Jim Barger. I think I got something you want to hear. Can we have lunch? Can we have a coffee? And we've already, in our opening marketing sessions, heard how to do that. Let's do that. Let's gather as districts right now. We've got just a couple minutes left. Let's gather together as districts. Stand around. Join hands. Pray specifically. Pray specifically for God to let that burden fall on your shoulders. So, Father, I come right now in front of you on behalf of these men, and I ask that you let the mantle, the burden of promoting the Royal Ranger ministry in our churches settle upon the shoulders of these men, Lord, and that they will feel the weight when they rise in the morning, as they go about their day, as they work through their various responsibilities. Lord, they'll feel the weight of the mantle of the calling that you've placed on their life to mentor young men and to be commanders of the force that mentors an army, that begins a worldwide revival, that hastens your return. Father, come into our groups, come into our midst. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Oh, Lord, let not your spirit depart from us, God. Let it be upon us, God. Give us another chance to steward this ministry within our fellowship and without our fellowship out into the far parts, the far corners of our nation and our world, to be stewards, God, to be keepers of the treasure, God, to show the way, to empower men. Let us find favor, Lord. Go before us. Let us find favor right now. Begin to work in every pastor's office, in every child pastor's office, in every youth minister's office. In the hearts of men, in the congregations, God, begin to place a burden on their heart to reach young men with the good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you.